Wise men say, only fools ashamed. Oh, but I can't help falling in love with you.
Well, again, Richard has chosen a wonderful song, my very favorite Elvis song, and my very favorite version of it, which was recorded in Vegas during the Vegas period, where he did this song as his closing number to all of his Vegas shows. Elvis would have been 78 years old yesterday, and we definitely miss the king. It is time for the Women's Room with Dr. Jennifer Weberman. And by the way, welcome back to the Bruce Salin Show, A Dad's Point of View. You can email me at bruce@brucesalin.com and follow me on Twitter at Bruce Salin. Dr. Jennifer Weberman is a psychologist and parent coach extraordinaire. She shares everything she has learned on her new blog, theparentingplayground.com. And I don't want to waste any more time. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Weberman.
Hi, Bruce. Thank you for having me.
Have you noticed how your introduction has shrunk down to, I don't want to waste any more time?
Well, that's good, right? It means Everyone's used to me by now.
Everybody that listens to you on my show has commented that you are just an incredibly marvelous addition to the show, and I just want to tell you that publicly and on the record.
Oh, shucks. I'm blushing.
Well, I can't see it, but I really, really... It's astonishing that we can have the kind of relationship we have, and yet we've never seen each other. We haven't Skyped. We've never met in person. I've only seen a still photo of you. You may have seen some video of me because there's plenty of it all over my website. But if you think about it, isn't that amazing?
It's so unbelievable.
You know, I have a social media manager who runs a lot of my social media business. Her name's Heather Villa. Hello, Heather, if you're listening, and she's wonderful. And I pay her a considerable amount of money every month. And our relationship is the same as yours and mine, with the exception that I had never even seen a photo of her. And finally, I said to her, you know something? We've got to Skype at least once, and you got to send me a photo. And so she finally sent me a photo with herself and her daughter. And her daughter, who was adopted and doesn't look like her at all, was absolutely gorgeous. And Heather was just charming to see. And I don't know, somehow just having a visual, look, men are visual, talking, I know we're going towards sex.
Ooh, so, good segue.
Okay, a huge issue for men is the visual, whereas I think a huge issue for women is the mind, humor, and frankly, I still, being a sexist, misogynist pig that I am, believe how much we have in our wallet. Notice how I said not how much we have in the other parts of our pants. I do believe it. Money is more attractive and a sense of humor than the physicality for women, whereas men can, as I wrote in the first line of my column, my first example, men can make love to a shoe. So I'll turn it over to you with that sort of introduction.
That's all the perfect segue, because when we talk about sex differences, I personally experience some defensiveness and reservations about it because it's complicated. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's a fear that looking at differences is somehow going to end up making it used against us to limit us or discriminate us. You know, in, for example, in the field of psychology.
Do you mean us, meaning men and women, or do you mean specifically women?
I'm speaking on behalf of my own gender and my experience as a woman.
Okay.
In the field of psychology, male psychology used to be the equivalent of human psychology. So we studied men to know how humans work. And then we looked at female psychology as separate. So it's almost like we're aberrant. There's what's normal, and then there's women.
Well, I agree with that.
Those differences were really misused. So sometimes I think that old defensiveness comes up for me. But at the same time, the solution can't be to pretend that differences don't exist and everything's equal and everything's the same, because we are different. And the whole point of having two genders is to be different.
Well, I continue to believe let's celebrate the differences, not try to make them go away.
Exactly. But when we talk about them, I think it's easier to talk about them in terms of trends and common patterns rather than boys are this and girls are that. Girls like pink, boys like to smash things. Guys could have sex with a shoe and women want to buy the shoe. I don't like shoes. I personally don't care about shoes.
I thought that was a good line of mine, that sex like...
That's why I quoted it.
Yeah, that's one of my... Men could make love to a shoe, women would prefer to buy them. I take full credit for that one. But I'm just, you made me speechless. So you just go on.
So I think the whole point is if we can understand the trends and differences between the genders, we can understand each other. And understanding each other in relationships helps us to meet each other's needs. My marriage works better if I know what my husband's needs are in and out of the bedroom. And regardless of whether I share those needs, I can meet them if I understand them.
Exactly.
So think as far as trends and tendencies go, if we're going to look at men and women, I think one of the big differences is that men have a greater capacity to compartmentalize things in their life,
yes,
including thoughts and feelings. While women see things as more connected. So that's heart, mind, body, and spirit.
I completely agree. You know, as part of my sex education to my boys, that ironically was a very big component because I only had boys. When my older one started to be at that age, I really expressed to him, and he was old enough and mature enough to understand, I said, look, you got to understand when you begin to have sex with a woman, a girl in his case, its impact on them emotionally is going to be bigger than you, bigger than yours, I mean. And it's a biological, physiological reality. So you need to be understanding of that. Whereas you might, you know, have a nice little kissing, make-out session with a girl and then immediately afterwards want to go out and get something to eat. She might need a little time, a little holding, a little affirmation. Because that's the way women are built, and that's what I've taught my boys, and I guess you're agreeing with me.
And if you take that tendency, because not all the time, some women can hook up and move on, and that's great, but if you look at that tendency, now let's bring it to an adult marriage, so okay. A husband and a wife, and let's say this husband and wife have young children. So the wife's got a tough day, demands are made of her at work, she comes home, the kids are making demands on her, they have needs she has to meet, then maybe she has an argument with her own mother on the phone. So she's feeling all of that emotionally, mentally, and physically. She doesn't just feel it in one area, she feels it all connected, and then hubby comes along and attempts to initiate sex. Because he's thinking, okay, let's have sex. It's compartmentalized. For her, it might feel like yet another demand that's being made on her when she's already taxed. So she shuts down. She turns him down.
Okay, but let's take another approach. Let's say if the guy was a little bit more enlightened, and before he even makes a move like that, he asks his wife how her day was, finds out some of this stuff, gives her time to decompress and to express it, and doesn't try to fix it. Because, of course, we men always want to fix it. Just lets her vent a little. And then, after a glass of wine, a little calm, makes his move. I bet you she'll be more open.
Yes. And how wonderful is that if it's not actually a strategy to get laid?
Well, even if it is a strategy, so what? It's good. If he knows in the back of his mind, I got to do this to get what I want, so what? His actions are still good and honorable. I mean,
and it feels good to be able to talk about things.
Well,
because that's how we process.
That's how we women process, meaning you. I don't process that way, but I know my wife needs that. You know that the book, The Five Languages of Love, I think we've talked about it, or The Five Love
Someone
Languages.
Someone has told me to read that book. I really need to.
Oh, it's fabulous. It has probably been the single biggest aid to understanding my wife and she me of anything we've done in the 6 years that we've known each other. Because basically, the concept of the book is we each have a language of love, one or two. It could be, in my case, it was all one. You kind of take a test at the end. And my wife, it was a mix of two. And what we tend to do, if the language of love is, in my case, it's words of affirmation. Okay, I need to be told I'm wonderful or good or terrific or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So my wife, it's about time spent together and gifts. She likes to get gifts. So I would just do my thing with my wife and say, oh, you look beautiful today. What a great meal. You know how much I love you. And I'm thinking, wow, I'm giving her everything she needs. Well, in the meantime, I'm rushing off to do work and I forgot her birthday or I got a nothing special gift. And so my wonderful words of affirmation don't work on her.
Yes, because instinctually we give the way we want to receive,
right. And
but your partner may not need to be given to that way.
Because we're different.
Because we're different. Absolutely. I think there are some very basic things that couples can do to bring a little bit more of that emotional connectivity into a relationship, especially knowing that for women so much of it is verbal communication. I don't think people should have a television set in their bedroom.
I God, I agree. But my wife, insisted. I didn't want it. And she just, when we moved to our new house 2 years ago, she said, I just got to have a TV because she likes to decompress in front of the TV. And I mean, this is a role reversal. So while I think you would normally think the man wants it so he can watch a ball game in bed or whatever, and the woman doesn't. Ironically, it was reverse in my home, but I agree completely.
Yes. If the TV's there, you're going to talk less.
Right. And it reduces, every sort of intimacy, verbal as well as any physical. The bedroom should be the province of husband and wife or man and woman. It should be a sacred, I mean, literally a sacred place.
Absolutely.
And if you have a TV at the foot of the bed like we do, you know, I come in and my wife will sometimes be watching the TV and I'm immediately turned off. I don't mean sexually. I mean just, ugh, now I got to wait. Either I want to go to sleep. Or if I want to initiate a conversation or anything else, it's like I got to wait till she's done with her show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to wait for a commercial break when really you just might want to connect at that moment. There's nothing wrong with decompressing in front of the TV, but that can be done in the living room.
Well, we're on the same page yet again, Dr. Jennifer. Hmm. All right, we're almost out of time. Any other things you want to add before I cut you off?
Oh, my gosh. I had a list. Let me see which one I think is the most important. You know, I know a lot of married couples, established married couples, they don't greet each other and look happy to see each other when they walk in the door anymore. And I think that's really sad. When you're dating, you're so excited to see each other, and I think that gets lost, especially after kids come along. I think it's really important to still look really happy and excited to see your spouse, to actually say good morning and good night and how was your day and all those little things.
And even a little kiss. I've got my wife trained. She comes to the door when I come home with slippers, so it works out very well. I wish. Dream on. I'm the one. I mean, there's a lot of role reversals in my own marriage, actually. My wife is Chinese, so there's a certain reserve that comes with her culture. And I'm Jewish, and there's a certain lack of reserve that comes with my culture. So the roles are very much reversed. Listen, we're out of time, so quickly let our audience know where they can find your genius.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I don't know about that, but the blog is theparentingplayground.com, and on Facebook, we're there under the same name, and on Twitter, it's dr_Weberman, 1B1N.
I might add that Dr. Weberman graces Dad Chat almost every week, so you actually would have an opportunity, if you participate in Dad Chat, to interact with her live on Twitter, and it's a very, very fun community of parents, moms, and dads. And you're invited any and every Thursday night. I hope I'll see you tonight. It's we're talking about quality time, not this sex thing. So I believe there's a myth, and the myth is called quality time, and that there is, in fact, no such thing, that kids only respond to quantity time. And I'll leave that with you.
How interesting.
Okay, and you can read the column on it in the Dad Chat prep post on my website. Dr. Jennifer, thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week, God willing, and I'll be back with some closing remarks after these messages. Do not mess with Mr. In Between.